Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Friday, May 2nd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Justin Richards in for Rob Hart today. Retailer Party City is set for a comeback, but it won't be the same old store. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the spotlight is on today's big government jobs report. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services there in Pittsburgh. Gus, good to talk again this afternoon. So today's jobs report is a market mover. Help us understand what's happening there.
Yeah, well, the labor market did better than economists were expecting in April. The U.S. economy added 177,000 jobs. That's better than about 130,000 for the consensus. And the unemployment rate remained low at 4.2%. So the job market still looks sturdy, even as tariffs remain a concern.
Can we breathe a sigh of relief for those that were fearing a recession coming our way?
Certainly, the economy is not in recession in the spring of 2025. The labor market is healthy. Consumers continue to increase spending. We did see a contraction in GDP in the first quarter, but that was due more to trade than demand within the economy. That being said, we're not out of the woods yet. We're going to start feeling the impact of tariffs over the next few months. That's going to drive inflation higher. It's going to be a drag on consumer spending. So this is certainly a good indication, but we are prepared for softness later this year.
We're joined by Chief Economist Gus Fauché. So Gus, what does this all mean for people currently looking for work?
It is still a healthy labor market out there. I think that firms are still hiring, that wages are still going up. And so I think that this is it's not as good a labor market as it was 2 or 3 years ago, but it's still solid and there's still opportunities out there for job seekers.
Which sectors led the way in job creation last month?
We continue to see strong growth in education, health services, what we call leisure hospitality services. So that's things like restaurants and hotels and recreation. We also saw a decent gain in construction. That is holding up well. And then we also saw gains in financial services and then what we call business and professional services, which is things like accounting firms, law firms. And also there was an increase in demand for temporary help workers.
Gus, finally, how might this report influence the Fed's next move on interest rates?
So the Fed meets next week. What they're going to do is look at this report and say, job market is healthy. There's no reason to do anything drastic. We want to see what the impact of tariffs are going to be on both inflation and on the labor market. So I do expect to see rate cuts later this year as it becomes apparent that economic growth is softening with higher tariffs. But in the near term, I think the Fed holds steady as they've indicated that they want to do.
That's Gus Fauché. Gus, great stuff, helping us discuss the positive coming out of what was happening from the big government jobs report today. Coming up next, an expert take on what Party City needs to do as it looks to be born again.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Party City is making a comeback just months after it closed hundreds of stores across the country as part of a winding down of operations. The brand's new owner says it will be reimagined with retail locations and a website. Let's check in with Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor there in New York. His website, retaildoc.com. Bob, good to chat. So let's begin with what was behind Party City's initial demise.
Well, how much time do we have? No, I mean, the biggest thing is that they had a leveraged buyout back in 2005. And so even though they were trying to make a comeback, COVID also kicked them really bad. People weren't going through and being able to, you know, do more social items. And they still were $1 billion in debt when they went out. The curious thing to me, though, Judson, is this is all being led by their old wholesale arm, AmScam. So it's just something odd about all of it. Like, it's the same company. You've come out of bankruptcy twice, and now it's the wholesale arm that's doing it. So it's a curious story to read on a Friday.
Yeah, I guess you have to respect their stick-to-itiveness to just stay at it. I will tell you that the Richards, my family, about 2 weeks ago, we drove to a Party City. My wife checked on maps, and it said it was open. Yet it was not open. So we are clamoring for more Party City. I don't know if the rest of Chicagoland is. So how will the new owner plan to reimagine the Party City brand?
Well, that's the promise. That's what their website says. It's going to be reimagined. But I think if you're going to do it, it's, you know, they had way too many locations, over 1,000. They're on a buying spree. They bought up every competitor they could and rolled it into this one big idea. And I think being more of a boutique, I think they could go through. I mean, I'm not privy to what they're doing, but I think you could certainly look at it and collaborate with local event planners. You could have a turnkey system where, you know, online you might say, I'm planning a party for these number of people. Actually, probably using ChatGPT, you could do this too, but it would say what the event is, what you want to have, and maybe a turnkey solution. So you just show up and there's everything, or an event planning company that could join into it. There's several ways they could have done it. It's just so odd that you would close all those stores to get out of every lease, to get out of all those prime locations, and then say, oh, well, now we're going to reopen and be something new. So, and let's not forget, I bet you, because 2 weeks ago you were going to go to Party City, you probably ended up at Michael's or Walmart or somewhere else, didn't you?
Yeah, we were going to get goodie bags for my son's 5-year-old birthday party, because, you know, the kids that go, like, they, you know, it's kind of their present
takeaway.
And so we ended up at Target for another reason, and they were able to fill it. But my wife, she was dead set on what Party City offered. So I guess that's the next question: will they be offering something similar? Right? I mean, they say Party City; they're the size of a city. So could a smaller, more focused store model help solve Party City's past challenges?
It could, but it's still owned by the number one manufacturer of all these items.
Ah.
So, you know, they're going to have access to all of it. Now, with tariffs all in place, that means everything is pretty much doubled because it comes from China. So that's going to, you know, I don't know if that announcement was the best thing to have, you know, after they've started to say tariffs are going to be kicking in. But at the end of the day, I think there's always going to be people want to celebrate. I certainly think after COVID, a lot of people figure, hey, it could all end tomorrow. I'm going to, you know, do a blow up party. I'm going to find a reason to get together. And so the demand is still there. And Michael's and Target and Walmart have already talked about, even Home Depot, I'm seeing things for Lowe's. I'm seeing party supplies and things that you were like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I think competitors are rushing in to fill that void, and it'll be interesting to see how quick they can not only get up on their feet, but also how they will reimagine it, because at the end of the day, it's just a lot of disposable paper, right? So,
Bob, finally, do you expect it to be a success?
Well, it went bankrupt twice, so and it's still
three times,
like
third time's
still
charm.
It's still the same company. That's where I keep going back. It's not like Toys R Us, you know, went bankrupt and then new people bought the mark and then they took it. So, you know, I wish them well, but I also know that a lot of, independent party stores were put out when they conglomerated everything. So it's I think the demand is there. The execution, as always, is what makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's next birthday party is in November, so let's hope they're still kicking by then. Bob, great stuff. Bob Phibb, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York. Check him out online at retaildoc.com. Coming up next, a Chicago restaurant group is setting its sights on the city's downtown.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Local restaurant group Roanoke Hospitality is betting big on Chicago's Loop, opening a host of new hotel-anchored eateries in just the past few years. Let's discuss this strategy with Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter for Crain's Chicago Business. Ali, thanks for joining us today. So why is Roanoke Hospitality so confident in the Loop's recovery?
Yeah, it's a great question, and thanks for having me. There's a lot of restaurants in the Loop that the ones that survived the pandemic really have struggled to get back to where they were. It's because their business is tied to office occupancy, which has hovered around 55% for about a year, right? So if people aren't going downtown to work like they were pre-pandemic, restaurants really have to rethink their business model, which previously relied on that five-day-a-week heavy lunchtime happy hour traffic, right? So what Roanoke Hospitality is doing is kind of, you know, they go into hotels, which can help in several ways. First of all, it can cut down overhead costs, but also it kind of guarantees that captive audience with the hotel guests, which typically comes with dinner as well, right? So, it's a common thing we're seeing these days in the Loop with restaurants. They have to de-risk it somehow, and this is how Roanoke is doing it.
Yeah, it makes sense. So how has the hotel restaurant model helped offset those lower office worker traffic?
Yeah, so it kind of varies for Roanoke. It varies. Each restaurant is different, right? Some of them operate a restaurant that's not really affiliated with the hotel, but it's in the same building, or maybe they operate the hotel bar. There's different models you can look at. Some it's kind of a management agreement, and some it's a 50-50 ownership situation. So it really just varies. So for them, it's kind of finding what works. Basically, during the pandemic, they had just one restaurant, which is called Roanoke, and it stayed open, closed to indoor dining like all the other restaurants were forced to do. But there were a couple restaurants nearby, the Hyatt Centric and the Kimpton Gray. They had restaurants that shut down. So Roanoke started putting QR codes in those restaurants and servicing those guests in the years following the pandemic. And then those hotels came to them and said, hey, will you open up new concepts in these vacant spaces? So doing that strategy really did help them kind of come out of the pandemic strong, and they've also grown in other places too.
We're joined by Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter with Crain. So Ali, what are the greatest risks that come with operating restaurants tied to hotels?
Yeah, so there are some risks, right? So oftentimes hotels will ask restaurants that are attached to them to be open all day so that their guests can have a breakfast option. That can be really costly for restaurants, which is something that, you know, restaurants are always hyper aware of their costs because the margins are so thin. But nowadays, especially, consumers are already starting to peel back their spending because of the economic uncertainty. We're hearing talks of a potential recession, all that kind of stuff. So there's a risk there. Staffing them is one of the most expensive things, right? Labor. So that's a risk there. But, you know, for Roanoke, I think that they feel like if they go after others instead of just the hotel guests, those theater goers that are coming downtown, looking for to bring that lunch traffic back in and then parlay that into evening traffic, so the happy hour and the dinner crowd. So kind of coming at it from a multi-pronged approach.
Ali, finally, in about 60 seconds, what should the foodies out there know Chicago-wise? Is there anything new that's coming our way that we should know about in 2025?
Oh my gosh, there is stuff everywhere all the time. You know, I think we're going to see a little bit of a slowdown. Roanoke, for example, is kind of pausing the rest of this year to see what happens with the economy. But, keep an eye on all the different neighborhoods. I'm seeing new restaurants that are popping up everywhere.
Ali, great stuff. Thanks so much. That's Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter with Crain. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a preview of the annual Taste of Innovation event in Chicago.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
All right, stocks are trading sharply higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. They're in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thanks for joining us today on WBBM. Wall Street liked today's job report. Help us understand what that all meant.
Well, it gave people some respite that the economy wasn't slumping as badly as it had been predicted or has been thought of by some analysts here recently. And so that was good news from the economic standpoint. And we've also been getting pretty good news on the earnings front. And I think that's been helping. And then there's been rumors perhaps that, you know, China might be coming back to the table to negotiate on their trade deals. So, you know, you have some of those positives in the market that are driving it higher today.
Yeah, markets have made quite the comeback from recent lows. What are your thoughts on how we got there and how long it'll continue?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, the market, from the Dow Theory perspective, it turned bearish on March 10th. And then you had a pretty significant slump into April 8th, where things really got oversold. And what we're seeing now is kind of a bounce off those oversold positions. Obviously, the big question is this the beginning of a new bull run, or is it a rally within a bear market? And at this point, it still feels like a pretty good rally, but still within a bear market. So we would expect at some point here, probably not too far in the distant future, to see the market peak out and then maybe perhaps pull back and retest those April 8th lows. So again, it's good news for traders. You got a nice bounce here that you can play. But I don't think it's all clear for the market at this point.
We're joined by Chuck Carlson of Horizon Investment Services. So, Chuck, how does this all play into the Fed policy going forward?
Well, you know, today's news kind of gives them some wiggle room in terms of not lowering interest rates. And I think that had been the big bet going into this jobs report that the Fed was going to be, especially after the GDP report. So, that's still uncertain to me. I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed goes through at least the first half of the year and doesn't do anything on the interest rate front and gets more data points in May and June, and then maybe makes a decision in the second half of the year. But I don't think you're going to see a rate cut by the Fed here through the first half of the year.
Are there areas of the market you see as undervalued right now?
Well, I don't know about undervalued. I think it depends on your time frame. I mean, certainly tech has had a nice little two-week move here, and those stocks had really gotten bombed. So, I mean, from the standpoint of could you see a further rally in some of the groups that had really been worked over, like tech, maybe over the next couple of weeks? I think that answer is yes. I still don't see any areas that are really significantly undervalued here. The one area that's scoring well in a lot of our scoring systems is utilities, which has actually had a pretty good move, but those stocks are having, you know, earnings growth. They pay dividends, which matters right now in this market. And that's an area that I think still has legs, but, you know, other than for trading opportunities, I don't see too much that's quote undervalued at this point.
You follow the time test Dow theory. What's that saying about stocks currently?
Yeah, it's saying that we're still in a bear market, according to the Dow theory. Again, you can have pretty nice and significant rallies in bear markets, such as you can have declines during bull markets. Those rallies tend to last anywhere from about 3 weeks to 3 months. And so we're starting to get near the end of the low end of that time frame. But again, the primary trend hasn't changed. We've gotten a nice rally, but I still think those April lows will still be tested here at some point.
Chuck, we got about 60 seconds. What's the biggest threat to financial markets going forward?
Well, it's earnings. And it usually always is earnings. And so, you know, if the companies can continue to kind of put up pretty decent earnings, and that's a big if as we get toward into the year, and obviously tariffs are going to play into that earnings scenario. But, you know, the biggest threat to the market is going to be corporate profits and whether they can continue to beat expectations. They're doing a good job in the first quarter here. It's a little less certain in the second quarter what's going to happen on the earnings front.
Chuck, always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much. That's Chuck Carlson, their CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Indiana. Up next on Entrepreneur Friday, we spotlight innovative trends and opportunities in the food industry.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Entrepreneur Friday. The upcoming event, Taste of Innovation, spotlights the future of food. Joining us with a preview is Luke Tannen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation. Luke, great to talk today. So give us a preview of the Taste of Innovation event coming to the theater in Lincoln Park on May 20th.
Sure, and thanks for having me on, Judson. So on Tuesday, May 20th, at the IO Theater in Lincoln Park, Chicago Innovation is hosting its annual Taste of Innovation event to spotlight great Chicago-based food and beverage innovators and really showcase innovative trends and opportunities in the future of food. But, you know, this event, it's not just for people in the food and beverage industry. It's for anyone who likes food and wants to know what's around the corner for what we eat, where our food may come from in the future, and much more.
Luke, what emerging food trends are you most excited about coming to the IO Theater?
Yeah, well, you know, that's why we're convening some great experts to talk about that exact topic. And I'm sure we're going to cover the topics of sustainability and food technology and delivery and agriculture and so much more. And, you know, the thing I'm really excited about are who these speakers are, who these food industry experts are that we're convening. It's a great cross-section. It includes people like Rohini Day, who's the owner of Sanctuary Restaurant, who's also the founder of Let's Talk Women, which is a coalition and movement of 130 women-owned restaurants across the country. Another speaker is Chef Sarah Stegner. She's a two-time James Beard Award-winning co-owner and chef of Prairie Grass Cafe and founder of Chicago Chef's Cook. But then we also have Natalie Schmulek, who's the Chief Strategy and Incubation Officer for The Hatchery. This is Chicago's top food and beverage incubator for new startups. But then on the flip side, we've got a great corporate food industry expert in Matt Ritchie, who leads the global agriculture practice for Accenture. And then finally, the whole panel is led by David Manilow, who perhaps you've seen him on TV. He's the creator and executive producer of the Emmy Award and James Beard Award-winning TV series Check Please on PBS.
Good stuff. So, Luke, the Taste of Innovation event coming to the IO Theater, one of your main focuses is about women-owned restaurants, right, and startups being spotlighted at the event?
Exactly. And you know what? We're involving some great women-owned restaurateurs in the food experience, because if you're going to have an event called the Taste of Innovation, well, you got to have some pretty unique and fun food for everyone to try, and that's really what we have. So we'll have tasting stations featuring some great Chicago-area women-owned restaurants, all curated by this group, Let's Talk Women, including Sanctuary, La Luna, Tacotlan, Molly's Cupcakes, and Brown Sugar Bakery. But, you know, it's about innovation, so we're also going to have some more unusual product sampling for the more, let's call them, adventurous eaters at the event. Like Aquacultured Foods is an example. They've created the world's first fish-free seafood through fermentation, so you can give that a try. We'll also have a mix of Chicago-based craft breweries, distillers, winemakers like Go Brewing, Moore's, Enjoy Wines, and Inspiro Tequila. And then, you know, for some added fun, we're working with a great Chicago company called Here Here Market, and they're making a special goodie bag for all guests that include 12 unique food products from local Chicago entrepreneurs, including coffee, exotic spices, honey, sauces, gourmet pretzels, cooking oils, sweet granola, baklava, and so much more. And I think, Judson, I'm getting pretty hungry just thinking about all this.
Yeah, no doubt. Luke, we got about 60 seconds left. How is Chicago Innovation supporting the future of food entrepreneurship through this event?
Yeah, well, you know, Chicago Innovation at its heart is all about educating, connecting, and celebrating innovators in the Chicago region, and our vision is to ensure that innovation is for everyone. And so we do this with events just like the Taste of Innovation, which is really intended to bring together all corners of the food industry ecosystem. Whether you're a startup, big corporation, investor, maybe you're a young person who's just graduated from college and you want to get into this sector and you want to know what's going on and who to meet and what, you know, are key trends to be learning about. So it's one part connection making, it's another part education, being inspired, knowing, you know, what's important to know in this space. And, you know, Chicago is a big, big food town. We're much more than just deep dish pizza and Chicago style hot dogs. So this event also really celebrates Chicago as a growing hub of food industry innovation.
Luke, terrific work. Thank you. That's Luke Tannen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation, previewing the Taste of Innovation event coming to the IO Theater in Lincoln Park on May 20th. Still to come, upping your cocktail game for the Kentucky Derby.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the Kentucky Derby weekend calls for cocktails from mint juleps to top shelf bourbon. Joining us to highlight signature drinks for the big event, Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans with locations in Chicago's North Center and Edgebrook neighborhoods as well. Carly, great to talk. It's a huge weekend for cocktails, isn't it?
It is. And the theme of it is typically fresh, just fresh cocktails kind of all the way around.
So what is your go-to Derby cocktail favorite?
Well, you gotta, there's a purist part of me that will always love the mint julep. Again, bourbon, Kentucky, it's king. So keeping that bourbon kind of strong, but also keeping it fresh with that mint and just having kind of that effervescence and a lot of crushed ice is opposed to just like the big ice cubes that you would typically see. But a lot of it is just fresh and kind of depending on what level of mixology the world is running on, you know, adding different kinds of berries and doing a mulling or a sangria, things like that is typically the direction I personally would go, but it's usually what we see the most of.
Is mint julep a pretty easy drink to make on your own at home?
Yes, it is. It doesn't have to be. I mean, of course, you can always measure things out, but I think most people, when it comes to just having less ingredients, you're kind of, you know, dumping as opposed to measuring out. But it's just bourbon, mint, little bit of sugar. You're welcome to put water in it if you would like. And then, you know, that little sprig of fresh mint, which, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Derby, but I swear that you can smell it. Just walking in, just loads and loads of mint.
Yeah, less ingredients and less measuring. That's where I really shine in the kitchen. We're joined by Carly Katz,
right,
owner of Bottles and Cans. So, Carly, how big of a business boost is the Derby weekend for a place like yours?
It is. So, for us, it's lovely because, again, as more people kind of do these events in their own home and people now have that that cocktail bug in them, thanks to COVID, everyone kind of taught themselves at home how to bartend. So it's actually really great for us. People come in, we get a lot of questions of like yours, what's simple, what can I make a lot of quickly for my friends and family? And, you know, the Derby drinks are about as simple as it gets.
So Carly, finally, let's talk about bourbon. Bourbon, it's a Derby staple. What's your advice for those shopping, for those choosing for the perfect bottle?
A lot of times, like sticking to bourbon is safe, especially when it comes to Derby drinks. But keeping it kind of in that range between 29 to maybe 49, knowing that you have something that you can sip on without making a cocktail with, but also is going to lead in a cocktail where you are going to be able to still taste it and know like this is my bourbon. This is what I'm drinking and this is what's making this cocktail so special.
Carly, great work. Thanks so much. A reminder, if you are drinking during the Derby this weekend, to be sure to do so safely. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.